your station of choice, and we are joined by Teboho Garitsanya, who is joining us from Bonela this morning. Teboho, thank you for joining us. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Boto, and good morning to the listeners.
It's a pleasure to have you join us.
Hey,
we're doing it again. Nobody language today, askies. Let's get down to it for the benefit of those that may be hearing of Bonela for the very first time. But of course, for those that have heard it, of Bonela as well, you know what they say. Repetition is the law to deeper and lasting impressions. Let's tell them a little bit about Bonela and what it is that Bonela does before we get to talk about the intellectual property rights and access to medicines.
The Botswana Network on Ethics, Law and HIV AIDS, we are fondly known as Bonela. We are a human rights organization whose mandate is to make the right to health a reality in Botswana. So at the core of our mandate is to make sure that consistently we have a human rights-based approach to the provision of services. And indeed, the right to health is realized in Botswana.
Absolutely.
So the work that we do capacity building on human rights, we do community engagement, we review law and policy, we engage in strategic impact litigation, and of course, we do advocacy.
Right, and yeah, that would explain a lot, actually. I think so much about the capacity building as well as the advocacy. That's what we know Bonela to do, yeah?
Definitely.
Right, and today's discussion is basically centered around TRIPS, as you would call it, as lawyers would call it, the trade-related aspects of intellectual property rights. But before we get to that, why is it an important aspect, or why is intellectual property rights and access to medicine, specifically to Botswana, why is it important?
As we discussed last week, and thank you so much, because this, like you rightfully said, is part of a three-part series, where last week we spoke about what intellectual property is and what intellectual property rights are, which are essentially rights conferred on the inventor of any good. So the whole purpose of protecting these rights is to stimulate creativity so that people invent machinery and, in our case, and in the case of our interest, really, medicines or drugs. So last week we spoke to specifically about patent law, which is the law which applies to the protection of medicines. So when we talk about intellectual property and protecting the rights of the manufacturers of drugs to essentially exclude other people from using, trading, or essentially benefiting from the work that they've done and the investment they've made into coming up with a particular drug, our argument is, from a human rights perspective, we cannot have manufacturing companies, or it's not prudent to have manufacturing companies essentially set the price of drugs and there be not enough competition in the market to drive the price down. Because the lower the price, the better that countries are able to afford the drugs, and so the better access that people have to the particular drug or medicine. So how do we go about the intersection of human rights and intellectual property rights? It really rests on four pillars. The fact that we need medicines to be available. And availability of drugs is the existence of suitable medicines to begin with. So they need to exist to start with, and they need to be available to the end user. We're talking about how they need to be accessible. So not only are they available in the wider scheme of life, but you as a Motswana, you need to be able to access the drug that is in existence for the treatment of a certain ailment. And we are talking about quality. The fact that drugs need to be of a certain quality. So even where there are side effects, and we understand that all drugs have side effects, but the side effects cannot be so debilitating that they take away the healing element of the drugs. So they need to be of a certain quality, and they need to be acceptable So that is to say that they need to be suitable to the user. So really, Buto, in answering your question, that is really the intersection of human rights and intellectual property. And I know intuitively, hela muntu ka ska akanye gore a boile gore ga te intellectual property and access to drugs, but it really has a huge impact on that. And right. Since we are in the world of coronavirus, it is very much a topical discussion, because as vaccines are being tested and various treatment options are being looked at across the world, these are discussions that we need to have. You know, do we really want a certain pharmaceutical company to have monopoly power over a certain drug and so set the price and make it so expensive that should we have a case in Botswana, we as Botswana or as the Botswana government cannot then ultimately afford it such that we can treat the people who do get the coronavirus.
All right, awesome stuff. Thank you for that. And the trade-related aspects of intellectual property rights, as you call them, the TRIPS.
So now going internationally, I suppose, I'm currently an agreement, which is the trade-related aspects of intellectual property rights. And it essentially obliges members by minimum standards for intellectual property protection. So a pharmaceutical company based in Canada, for example, can make a certain drug or manufacture, so essentially make a certain drug and patent this drug in Botswana, in South Africa, in Namibia, in India. And what that essentially means is this particular manufacturing company can then have those competitive or have a lack of competitive pricing in these markets. So the trade-related aspects of intellectual property rights is meant for that very purpose.
Right.
To say, in the international sphere of trade, how do we encourage intellectual property rights such that it encourages manufacturing and the exportation and importation of goods? There are, however, flexibilities. If I had to go about protection or essentially saying for this particular at the core of the TRIPS agreement is about protecting intellectual property, which is what we don't want from a human rights perspective, too much protection. But there are flexibilities, policy options that countries can pursue to relax the TRIPS agreement.
Right.
And Karibu about these specific policy options. We're talking about parallel importation and compulsory licenses, for example, where a country company can patent a drug in Botswana, for example, although that doesn't necessarily happen because Botswana does not do patent examination. Our patent examination as a country is done at regional level at an organization called ARIPO, which is the African Regional Intellectual Property Organization. So we have essentially given that organization the right to do patent examination on our behalf. So essentially, for the sake of argument and for, I guess, explaining how compulsory licensing works, they can give that a certain pharmaceutical company can come and seek to register their patent in Botswana. Botswana can then agree to register that patent. And when they have agreed to register the patent, they can still issue a license to another manufacturing company for the manufacture of generic drugs. And that creates more supply in the market, and that's driving down the price of that particular medication.
Absolutely. And what would you say is protected, actually, by these trade-related intellectual property rights?
I beg your pardon?
What is protected under these the trade-related intellectual property rights?
So at the core of the TRIPS agreement, really, like I said, is to set the minimum standards for IP protection. So our particular interest is not necessarily in the protection, but really in saying, and that is really the core of the flexibility, to say not every country can afford to have those particular protections in place. So there are certain waivers for low, least developing countries, and it grants the state the opportunity to not enforce pharmaceutical patents, for example. So it doesn't matter where your patent is, as long as you are classified as least developing country, then you don't have to enforce those. And of course, Botswana is not classified as a least developing country. We're sitting up here comfortable as a upper middle income country, which means that doesn't apply to us. But what does apply to us in terms of the protections or the flexibilities of the BITS agreement is the compulsory licensing. And apart from compulsory licensing, as a policy option, Botswana can also pursue parallel importation.
Right.
Which essentially means that if a drug has been or a medicine has been patented in a third country for the use in their domestic market, then essentially Botswana can then import from that third country, and they can import that at a lower cost
for their domestic markets, for our domestic markets,
for our domestic market exactly.
And it happens under what circumstances or what capacity? Does the country have to have, insufficient capacity, as Botswana? Do we have to have insufficient manufacturing capacity for us then to be enabled to import from the other markets?
That is true. Countries that don't particularly have a lot of manufacturing capacity, as in our, can choose to pursue that policy option. To say, I agree, compulsory licensing implies whether there are enough manufacturing companies or there are options in terms of manufacturing companies. You merely take the licensing and you give the information. Kind of when you apply for a patent, you need to explain what has gone into that particular drug. So you take that information and you give it to another manufacturing company. Now, in the case of a parallel importation, if you don't have enough manufacturing companies domestically, then you can pursue that option. And of course, it would be one that Botswana could possibly pursue.
Right.
Emma.
I was going to say, relative to trade-related aspects of intellectual property rights, or TRIPS as you call it, what are we doing as Bonela, just to look at, because I don't understand the relationship between trade and intellectual property, basically. So what are you doing as Bonela to actually link the two?
Okay, so there is a link between trade and intellectual property. If you are manufacturing, like I said, say, for example, in Namibia, and you have protected your good, it essentially means that you not only have protected it in Namibia for the Namibian market, but you can also have profits across the world. Let's look at big pharmaceutical brands such as Johnson & Johnson.
Right.
Johnson & Johnson is a huge international brand that trades internationally.
That's right.
And the products that they produce are protected by patents.
Mm-hmm.
So they do lotions, they do drugs, and they are patent protected, right?
Yeah.
So that is the link between the trade, because it means they can trade under that patented brand in any country.
Okay.
So in terms of our interest as an organization, Enongori focuses on the right to health. Like I said at the very beginning, it's really making sure that while we're busy protecting the manufacturer and making sure that we have enough creativity in the world, we do not do so to the exclusion of people accessing life-saving treatment.
Right.
And this is particularly important where people are on chronic medication.
Mm-hmm.
Increasingly, we're talking about non-communicable diseases, and people are on hypertension drugs, high blood pressure medication, for years on end. So if a particular manufacturing company has a patent for that drug, hypertension, and only they can produce it, it makes it exponentially expensive.
Absolutely.
For countries such as Botswana to be able to afford to buy the drug for the Botswana who need it. So that is really the core of our advocacy. And of course, next week we will definitely be hashing out that link, or rather hashing out how access to medicine really works in Botswana and how Botswana has made use of the true flexibility that we just spoke about. So we will definitely now be synthesizing that and bringing that down to national level to say, as a country, what have we done? What are we doing? How are our drugs affordable enough? And are we pursuing the appropriate policy and legal options to be able to ensure that drugs are accessible, acceptable, their quality, and so forth?
All right. Awesome stuff. It certainly is a conversation we're looking forward to. But lastly, how do they get hold of you, Teboho?
You can get a hold of Bonella at 393-2516. 393-2516, but of course, in light of the fact that there are different options, because we're working from home, perhaps you might want to find us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is Vanilla, and we're also on Twitter at Vanilla FX.
All right, awesome stuff. We certainly will be hoping to hear a little bit more. I learn a lot every time I actually have a conversation with you. I'm grateful for that. Thank you so much. I'm hoping my listeners actually feel the same.
Let's hope so. they can always give us a call and give us some feedback.
That's right. That's what we encourage. Thank you so much, Teboho. It's been a great pleasure. Thank you. Have a good weekend.